It's not going to be a good look. So, growing up, and still to this day, I'm a very picky eater. If you know me, I eat a very basic food group. Peanut butter and jellies, mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, fried chicken, mashed potatoes. And when I was a kid, I was even worse. It was mostly just peanut butter and jellies. But my dad is very well known for his cooking, and he cooked for me and my brothers a lot. And I didn't like to eat dinner that much. So when I was a kid, I saw the film Babe, and I wasn't a very big fan of pork chops. So I saw this as a gateway out of getting into eating pork chops. And if you haven't seen the movie Babe, it's about a little pig that likes to, he ends up herding sheep. And the farmer who runs the farm ends up putting him in a competition to herd sheep, and he ends up beating out most of the dogs who herd sheep for a living. So I took this pig as a hero, and I said, you know what? No more pork chops for me. I can't do it because of Babe. But you put a piece of bacon in front of me, and I devour it. So with my dad making dinner all the time, he's well known for his good food, and regularly he would make pork chops for me and my brothers, and I would try to avoid it at all costs. All the tricks CJ thinks he does, I've done them first. Pushing the food to the side of the plate, waiting for everybody to leave so I can dump it in the garbage, or acting sick so I would not have to eat it. It didn't always work in my house. My dad always caught me. And in my mid-20s, my father knew I was the same type of kid that would try to get out of that, and that same picky eating habits. But one thing he always told me is, I would eat anything if it was cooked right. He used another word, but I'm going to say it like that. For a regular Sunday, I would come over and eat whatever he made me. And I thought one day I was eating fried chicken. I ate it fast. I almost ate the bone. And little did I know, that was a pork chop. So nowadays, I'm much more thankful for his food. And I rely on it every Sunday when I go over and hang out with him. And I give Audrey his food, too. I make sure she has it when she's ready for school. I'm still a picky eater, but I'm pretty sure his words are true. If cooked right, I'll eat it. Virginia, don't get any ideas. I'm not eating fish. Not eating shrimp. You can try. A harder lesson I had to learn was my junior year of high school. I began to follow the wrong crowd. And I began to start calling people who weren't my friends my friends. And my dad knew that that was the wrong crowd for me to be a part of. One of my dad's most used catchphrases at the time was, not everybody is your friend. And I should have taken heed to this very strongly. It's something I try to tell my nieces and nephews. Not everybody is your friend. And they'll see and they'll understand as they grow older. But the kids I was trying to hang out with, nothing against them, but a lot of them had sad situations at home. No mom or dad. Siblings may have passed away. But I always had a soft spot in my heart for helping people, especially people who I thought were friends. One of those kids was a bit older than me and tried to convince me at the time to break up with my girlfriend. But he was mistaken because I did end up breaking up with my girlfriend, but my girlfriend was my friend before we started dating. So she told me after we had done that, that same kid tried to start hitting on her. Now I still hear my dad's voice in my ear, not everybody is your friend, not everybody is your friend. And I didn't trust what he was saying then, but I should have. I trusted my true friend, and then who would have known, maybe 10 years later we ended up getting married. But Jesus must have been some kind of man, some kind of a very inspirational man, just to go up to Matthew and tell him to follow him. Follow me. Now, my dad is a very inspirational person, and I take heed to what he had said back then, and now I apply it to many aspects of my life. Because writing tickets, you see a lot of people coming up to you, try to be your friend, and say, hey, can you take back this ticket? Remember, we went to high school. Can you take back this ticket? Look, my coworker wrote a ticket to his dad, so we got no choice in what we do. But how do we know to believe Jesus when he says to follow him? How do we know? We have to trust it, but how do we know? We know if we follow Jesus, he can show us how to love, how we can love others and how to love ourselves. He can show us how to repent. He can show us how to be forgiven and how to forgive people. He can show us how to start things over when things get tough and how to turn things around when we're on a sticky situation. He can show us how to deal with life and even death. And most importantly, I think that He can show us how to find a purpose for ourselves in this world. And He can help us see God's purpose in our lives. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys have read John 14:6. I even have it on a coffee cup. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Following Jesus can transform our hearts to love. Benjamin Watson, a Super Bowl winning tight end who now plays with the New Orleans Saints. Hope you know that. My Saints fan in the back row. He tweeted this a couple weeks ago, or I think in the middle of the summer. He tweeted, Obama can't save us. Mrs. Clinton can't save us. Trump can't save us. But the only one who can change the hearts of man is the Lord. I think that is a very true statement of what he said. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will. Well, what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And yes, I do try to put that and implement that into things, because too many times I try to follow just the wrong path is out there, and it's easy to get caught up on that road. So to stay with the right path is hard, but I think when you surround yourself with the right people and you see what God has blessed you with, you're able to do so. So someone who truly believed in Jesus was Matthew the tax collector. So we'll get back on track. When Christ says, "Follow me," that's exactly what he did. Matthew was a tax collector, and a tax collector at that time was not an easy job, but a very profitable job. The tax collectors were Jewish people that, most of the time were Jewish people, that collected taxes for upkeep the temple, and they also collected a Romans tax that for custom doing commerce, or basically tolls, like our good old Mario Cuomo. Sorry, that bridge, you know. The trouble for tax collectors came when it was time for collections. Because, you know, they're independent contractors. You try to get one independent contractor to look at one piece of work on your house and ask them for a quote without getting another one from someone else. You might get a different price. Now, I'm not saying all tax collectors were bad and overpriced people and for their own profit. But I kind of looked at it like as if, you know, I told you, I write parking tickets. If I started taking back tickets for whatever reason and charge an extra price on top, you know, you're making good money, but it's dirty money. So, to put a profitable job like that to the side, that takes major action. So that takes me back to my first point, that you have to start taking action in what you believe. You're making good money, but it's not right. Now look how Christ changed the hearts of Matthew and put Christ changed the heart of Matthew and put it aside, and he started to follow Christ. And that's what Christ tells us to do. Christ tells us to deny ourselves, and if you look at Mark 8:34-38, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Matthew the tax collector took action by putting his career to the side. To follow Christ, we must deny ourselves. And that's hard to do. I'm not, you know, putting anybody on blast, but try to take Yummy away from Audrey. It's not going to be easy. But, when you have something in your life that you know isn't right, you have to try and look to Christ and put it to the side so you can follow him. Being a tax collector, he was a representative of Rome, but when he denied himself, he became a follower of Christ and a representative of the children of God. He gave us a good example when he did that. And self-denial teaches you satisfaction in God. Now, many of you probably have heard of Lawrence Taylor. He is well known for his off-the-field struggles with drugs and other kind of abuse. But Lawrence Taylor was also known as one of the best and greatest defensive football players of his time. As a rookie, it did not take him long to jump to the starting team, and after the first practice, all the coaches knew he was the best player on the field. LT, as they called him, would always say, "If you don't know what you're doing, just rush the quarterback." When LT first started in the NFL, the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants was Bill Parcells. Before LT and Parcells were together, it was 18 years that the Giants had missed the playoffs. That's a long time. If you're a fan of any sports team and you haven't made the playoffs in 18 years, you're calling for jobs. Trust me, I'm a Knicks fan. LT and Parcells formed a relationship out of tough love. LT's first impression of Bill was that he was not nice and he was a jerk, but he was a darn good coach. And Bill would ride him for every mistake he would make because that's the talent he saw in him. Now, every now and then they would bump heads, but Bill would always say, "That's my boy, and that's just how it is." They were not just player and coach, but they became friends. And tough times would bring them together in 1983 when Parcells became the head coach of the New York Football Giants. And in 84, they didn't start off too well, the Giants. And imagine in New York City not starting off well, you know they're calling for Bill's job. And Bill told the Giants team that if they didn't turn this thing around, they were going to fire him. That put something inside of LT that burned a fire inside of him. He turned up his game. Upon hearing this, he took his game to the next level. His playing and passion would change the culture of that locker room, and the Giants would go on then to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. And in 1985, the Giants had such a good record that they hosted their first playoff game in 23 years and won. That cemented Bill Parcells' job as the coach of that era. Now, Matthew did this. He bought into Christ's system with one phrase, "Follow me." But he bought into his system. We all have to try to do that. We all have to see that and look at the prophets and look at the apostles and how they were able to just buy into a system. Are we doing that in our lives? Are we buying into Christ? It's hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard. It's a battle each and every day. Every day I wake up, I tell you, I battle with this. I am attacked every morning I wake up. I have different thoughts in my head, different things I'm swiping up on Facebook and seeing, you know, just from swiping, you're going to see something crazy. Now, to get back to it, Matthew 9, verse 12, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. If you're looking at me and thinking I'm not sick, I tell you right now that's wrong, because I sin. And I am not a perfect person, not one bit. I make more mistakes probably than half of you out here, I feel like, at times. And Matthew knew this too. When it came to his profession, he probably felt that he was robbing people. And that's why it was very humbling for him to look at Christ and stand up and follow him. Now, you look at what happened this week in our country, not trying to get political at all, but you see two people explaining a situation. You see a woman who is obviously a victim, and you see a man trying to defend his name in front of a group of people, half trying to condemn and half trying to condemn the other one. I tell you this, when we die, it's not going to be like that. There's not going to be Republicans and Democrats on both sides trying to unturn every stone in your life. There's going to be one. There's going to be God, and He's going to judge us according to how we live. Amen. He's going to look at us and see if we heard the message, "Follow me." You know, it's hard in life to be able to do that. It's hard to put things aside. It may cost you it may cost you your life. And we see that in all parts of the world. I think we have it pretty good here right now, where we're able to go out. I can go down into the town and start just preaching, and I won't be beheaded. But you go into some of these other countries and try something like that. But I think a lot of the time it's not about just the preaching, it's about the action. It's about the action of the human being inside, in the heart. And I could sit here and tell you, "Follow me," all day. But unless you see me throughout the week living the same message that I've been preaching, you're not going to see a changed man. Now, I know this from who I was in my early 20s to who I am now in my early 30s. I am a changed man. I used to put things ahead of Christ. I used to put things in the wrong position. I used to follow the wrong people. I used to hang out with the wrong crowd. But that does not define who I am today. What defines me today is that I am trying my hardest. And maybe not my hardest at times, because I do slack off. But I do realize where I need to go and where I need to be to follow Him. I think being a part of such a good congregation, we have a lot of great example of great men and women who try and walk the same battle. I'm pretty sure they're dealing with battles just like me. I mean, like we said, if you're looking for a man to change your perspective other than Christ, you came to the wrong town, right? I want to leave you with this. That when it comes to Christ, there is no fault. People, a lot of my, people I used to hang out with, watch what you say, who's your friend? Remember what my dad said, not everybody's your friend. But a lot of people I used to hang out with now question me and say, why do you follow Jesus? What's wrong? Like, are you crazy? Like, that means you hate this person and this person. But if they read the Bible, they would know. That's not who Jesus was. He teaches us how to love. And if you follow Him, there's no wrong in that. Because He didn't do nothing wrong. If you can prove that, good luck. Because I don't see it. I don't see it in any of His actions that I go through. I can admit, I'm telling you right now, there's more things I need to do to be able to keep on following. And I will continue to try until the day I die. But if I don't, I'm doing exactly what the devil wants. I'm putting doubt in my head, and I'm causing a void between me and God. I want to crush that void. There's only one way to crush it, and that's to follow me. Thank you.